listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
You heard of the rats before, but kept waiting for the son of song. I keep dance all strong. Beats never worthy of my cause or prolong. Extravaganza, time sits still. No propaganda, be wary of the skill. As I bring forth the music, make love to your eardrums. Dedicated to rap, nigga, beware of the fearsome. Lebanon, Don, Malcolm X, beat threat. CD massacre, murder to cassette. I blow the shop up and you ain't seen nothing yet. One man ran trying to get away from it. Put your bifocal on, watch me, it cometh into your chamber. But like Freddy in a dream, this can moderate your technique and your scheme. Four course applause, hold on. Four course applause like a black dad to that. You're stuck on stupid like I'm stuck on the map. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
Lost my place there reading that shit. Best rap verse of all time, by the way. Yeah, we're in the house for a feedback show, which of course, you know, means that we talk about all the things that you had to say about the things that we said throughout the week. And we just let you guys know what we think about what you think about what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. We only had four episodes this week, and I looked at the reviews. We only got one review on iTunes. So might be a shorter show. I don't know. We did go to Walker Stalker Con this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was straight, man. Like, we got some pretty cool swag. I got my baby. I don't know if I'm gonna call her Lucille. Maybe I'm gonna call her something black. I mean, not that Lucille isn't a black ass name.
Come on.
But I got me a Lucille authentically. Karen got her a mug with all the different like Michonne's on there, Rick Grimes is on there, Daryl Dixon's on there.
And the artist like hand drawn that, like, it's some artist like drew these and like was putting them on like all these different things. He had like shot glass and stuff. It was really neat.
Yeah, we got a Michonne, that same looking Michonne. We got one of her on a refrigerator magnet too. And then also we signed up for the Equality North Carolina. They had a booth there where you could sign up to petition against HB2. Mm-hmm. You know, Pat McCrory is trying to damn do everything, just fucking steal.
He's like, I'm not gonna win, so I'm gonna burn the building when I leave. Fuck
yeah.
Him.
Yeah, he's essentially just, you know, just scorch earth right now, and we're trying to fight in North Carolina to keep him from stripping all these powers from the incoming governor, because we're gonna need those powers to repeal all the shit that he did without even voters voting on these things.
Right, and you end up having a closed session meeting, no press, no media, no nobody, but I guess they had to make the meeting public. So people was like, hey, why y'all having this meeting and y'all didn't open it up? They had hundreds of people that went out. They were fucking protesting and was like, no, you can't do this.
They arrested people.
Right. People was like, no, fuck you. You cannot do this. Like, and the thing about it, and the thing that makes me upset is that people across the country that really don't follow it, all they see is just the ignorant shits that come out of our state. They don't really follow it as much as people that live here. A lot of this shit we did not vote on, we did not pass. So when people go, well, the people of North Carolina, no, it's not the people of North Carolina, it's the people that govern over the people of North Carolina that are passing this shit, and they don't actually let us vote.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's just been one of those times where you're just sitting around like, what the fuck is going on with our state?
Right.
So, and you do feel like there's nothing you can do, but we signed up, so hopefully we'll be in the know and on how to help and stuff, at least in the ways we can, you know. And of course, you know, this show is brought to you by all the fans who took the time out to do simple things, nice things like donate, you know, leave 5-star reviews or whatnot. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball, extreme. And oh, I forgot to mention also, we didn't know what the setup would be at Walker Stalker Con. Mm-hmm. So we didn't know if we were gonna be there all day or not.
Right.
My mom's birthday celebration is tonight. Mm-hmm. So I knew we wouldn't be there the whole day.
Right.
But we went early because you get in early with your media passes and stuff. And yeah, we got to, like, we saw Chad Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they're set up, you can't just walk up to people and be like, let me take a picture.
Right.
And they don't really set it up so that you can, like press doesn't have like time with them. Like, I was hoping that we would have time with people to talk about, you know, Walking Dead and their upcoming projects and ask questions and stuff, but they really didn't have a area for that, which, you know, is a little bit weird. Hopefully, and maybe it's because of the timing of it, because you can't really talk to the cast right now, because since it's mid-season, they're basically like, you can't be asking people what's going on for the second half of the season, or even what they think about things that are happening right now. So you couldn't interview those people. You can interview people that's already died on the show. Then in addition to that, you don't get to interview them really. Like, there's no separate area to sit down and do interviews or talk to people. It's just all like, you just sitting there, you can take pictures of shit. So we were like, let's just go back home. It's, you know, it's pretty much just glorified VIP tickets at that point. But we'll know better for next time. But yeah, we still had a good time. We met a fan out there.
Yeah, like within 10 minutes of us like getting there.
Yeah, it was Martin, I believe was his name. Mm-hmm. And we took a picture with him. We put it on social media.
He was so sweet.
He was super sweet, man. It was crazy. So, you know, we were just chilling.
He was nervous to meet us. I was like, I don't know why. We just normal, regular ass people.
Right. So, but it's always awesome, man. We always had the coolest fans, honestly, man. So, it always makes me proud when we run into our fans, because, you know, so far we haven't run into anybody that was just like an asshole, you know. True. It's cool to be like, oh, yeah, I'm glad this person's listened to our show.
Right.
So.
Your audience is a reflection of you. I tell people that, like that, to me that shit matters.
So all right, so let's go ahead and get into the people that did take the time out to donate to the show, because like I said, could not do this without you guys, specifically. So
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. And new money is what I like to say. Joy M, recurring donator. Thank you very much, Joy. We appreciate your money. Mm-hmm. My brother, Rodney, he was a recurring donator, too. Thank you. Tavon S, recurring donator. Thank you, Tavon. Mm-hmm. Damian Jackson, I am for real. Recurring donator. Autumn W, recurring donator. Thank you very much, Autumn. Mm-hmm. Alfonso M, recurring donator. Thank you, Alfonso.
Yes.
Design T, recurring donator. Lisa D, recurring donator. And she is a brand new recurring donator.
Yeah,
so join the new members class, Lisa. Kelly K, Kelly C, recurring donator. Thank you. Jane M, recurring donator. Mm-hmm. Shirley Wong Esquire. Please say the Esquire. Recurring donator.
Yes,
Wonga, recurring donator. All the way from Australia, mate.
Yes, sir.
Rosalie V, recurring donator. Thank you so much. Dana W, recurring donator. Tanya S, recurring donator.
Hey, baby.
Alexis H, recurring on that donation. The Tickler, all the way from Tennessee, I believe, recurring donator.
Yes.
Tabitha M, recurring donator. Conrad, of course, the leader of the new members class. I mean, you guys know him. And that's everybody. Let me play us out.
It feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day. But tell me where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up. A power that I can't explain. Fell from heaven like a shower.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still
I smile.
Come on.
Even though I have to, I smile.
Y'all feel that?
I know God is worth it, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still
I smile.
Hallelujah.
All right, all right. Let's get into these. This 5-star review. We only got one this week. But it's a good one. They Wake Me Up, 5 stars. This is by, this looks like Laurie Secup. I think that's right. Laurice. Either that or Laurice Cup. It could be that. Laurice's Cup. This is like my third time trying to submit a review because Apple plays too much. I apologize if my other reviews do appear to look like spam. No, it only lets you put the one. The devil is a lie. Anyways, I love Rod and Karen. Every morning begins with a listen to the Black Altus podcast and 50. in five hearty chuckles. Rod and Karen have something about them that just makes everything seem okay. They're like one of those feel good, do good, motivational black songs from the 90s. Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Thank you, baby.
Keep your head to the sky. That's my favorite black motivational song. I like how their approach to spreading I like their approach to spreading information. They are more concerned with being ethical than being outlandish for clicks and views, and they are also the only people that can make white people news the least bit interesting. It's a good palate cleanser, if nothing else. I admire how these two are compassionate for people outside of themselves. We need more entertainers like Rod and Karen. They are your play cousins, that aunt and uncle who aren't blood, but they still auntie and unc. And most of all, friends. They proved that you don't have to be a bigot or asshole to be entertaining. But let's be real, anything that stems from black love is bound to be amazing. Aww. Oh,
thank you, sweetie.
Thank you. We are trying to be amazing. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
We do.
If you're outside the United States, let us know, because we can only see the reviews that come from within the 50 continental United States or whatever it is. So if you in like Mexico or Canada and you leave us a 5-star review, unless you notify us to go check it out, we probably won't see it. And I know we do have fans all over the world, mm-hmm. contrary to what they try to tell you about black podcasting.
I know.
But we do have fans all over the world. So if you guys, are out there and you're leaving reviews for us on iTunes, just let us know and we'll find it and we'll, read it on the show. What else are we going to do, guys? Okay. We need to stick together in Trump's America. This is all we have left. All right, let's get into the comments on the actual website, theblackoutist.com. Basically, we post every episode as like a post on our website, and you can go there and you can click on it and say and leave a comment. You can also vote in polls. We try to have a poll for every single episode. So these are little things that go a long way when it comes to doing feedback. Mm-hmm. Episode 1341 was our feedback show that we actually had to do on Sunday, because Karen was recovering from some oral surgery and stuff. 1341 Riddled with Beautiful Blackness was the name. Got that from one of the reviews. But Mill73 says someone left a voicemail on this episode of the show. I think her name was Amon, and she mentioned Silk the Shocker and how it reminded her of high school. She was so exuberant that it made my Monday morning, which started out pretty shitty as I had to wade through 6 inches of snow to get to the bus stop, only to sit beside this white lady on the bus that said she didn't want to sit me to sit beside her. So shout out to Iman, I think that's who it was, for the shitifying, for de-shitifying my day. Oh, and the rest of the show was good, great too. Thanks, Bamil.
Thank you.
Sorry that happened to you, man. Yeah, that's one of those things that's weird, especially as a black dude, when if a white woman is like, don't sit next to me on the bus, it's almost like, well, I'm not trying to sit next to your ass either. And I also had that moment where I can't tell, is it because I'm a dude? Is it because I'm black? You know what I mean? And if it's a crowded bus and I don't have a choice to sit there, it's like, well, fuck, man. I want to be here as little as you do, you know? Anyway, sorry that happened to you. That sucks.
Me too. People are assholes.
Dana W says, I almost choked to death on my own dry snot after... I mean, on my own dry snort after hearing Rod pronouncing "Oh come on" with the most reddity French accent ever. It's so hilarious to me that not only does he keep writing in, he starts every letter with the frequency that he listens to the show. Like, I listen several times a week, or I listen every day. I don't think I ever heard a real fan comment start that way. It's always, I've been listening since this summer, or for years, or whatever. The troll is like, I have listened to 3.8 episodes this cycle. Weird dude. Yeah, that troll dude was weird, and he did stop emailing as far as I know, so good, because I don't want to talk about him any more than he wants to be talked about.
Ain't that the truth?
Let's just agree to leave each other alone. Anyway, Karen, I'm so glad you're doing okay after the surgery, and glad Rod held it down taking care of you.
He did.
Now I'm gonna go back to listening to the show and writing fanfic about Negan's black wife. Like, they could have at least had Negan's black wife there today. That's all I'm saying, guys. Like, they had different people that you could take photos with, you know, like Chandler Riggs and stuff, which it was awkward though, because I think you had to pay to take the photos. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, you got to go over there, stand in line, pay. And that's even with press. Like, I got to pay to take a photo with you. I don't know. It's just an awkward process. It's not very natural feeling. So, you know, I wasn't interested in it, but we did walk the aisle to see like which people were there. And I mean, there had some people that were interesting to us, you know. They had the King Ezekiel dude, but he's not in costume, so you know, that's that thing. Mm-hmm. They had the dude that was Jesus was there. Mm-hmm. Abraham was there. I think the dude who plays Eugene, he was there in the that's his real hair, that mullet.
It is.
But like, if they would have just had Negan's black wife, I don't even know how they would. They would probably just like Cassandra or something. I don't know what her real name is.
Yeah, you could have just said Negan's black wife. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
That I would have stood in that line and I would have paid $100. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
that's
yeah, the we only paid one. To see her.
That's the only one picture I would have paid to take, was like, mm-hmm, me and Negan's black wife chilling. That would have been, our fans would have loved that. But she wasn't there, y'all. Anyway, so back to the emails. I mean, the comments. Falcons Diva says, I have a 1 hour commute to work. I drove all the way home with my face twisted just thinking of how having to get teeth pulled through my nose. God bless you, Karen. You are truly a trooper. Yes, Danny is delusional. I enjoyed the first recap of the troll, but when I heard it on pregame, it was even better. Yeah, I mean, listen. Premium people, man.
They get
a lot of stuff, man. We try to make it worth it.
Yeah, because a lot of times just to be hearing the stuff for the first time.
Yeah, like that's another thing. If something happens to us throughout the week, me talking to Justin is another recap of that shit.
Yeah, it is.
Because I have to be like, nigga, you can't believe this shit, right? So then this nigga said this, then I did that. And it's like, we have a whole new show.
Yep.
Plus the trolls bring out the blackout to his love even more. With that said, I hope Jason James Danny has had enough. Seems like he has, and I really hope it stays that way.
Yep.
Wiz Khaleesi, Lisa says, hey Karen and the husband, sorry in advance if this comment is too long. I was going to do this as a voicemail last week, but I chickened out. I'm a Somali Canadian, so while I am black, I don't have the lived experiences or history that a black person from America has. A lot of us from the motherland forget this when we're trying to give our 2 cents. Oh, I just realized what she did with the Karen and the husband, how that dude kept going, and the wife. I love you and that wife.
That woman.
It might as well have been like when they dub over something where it's like, I have been listening to you and your wife for years, and I really love the way that Rod and your wife chemistry.
got that TNT treatment.
Mm-hmm.
We taking out the cuss words.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is why I enjoy your podcast. A lot of us from the motherland forget this when we try to give our 2 cents, because she's talking about, you know, mm-hmm, having different lived experiences.
Right.
This is why I enjoy your podcast so much. I get to learn a lot, feel included in the big umbrella of blackness, but also have a reminder that it's okay for me to stay in my lane when it comes to certain topics. For sure, man. Shit, I do.
Yeah.
You know how much stuff I could give y'all an ignorant, uninformed opinion on this show about, but I just be like,
nope,
I don't know.
Don't do it.
Yes, part of that grace sometimes is knowing when you don't know what the fuck you talking about. And that shit is underrated. Like, in the age of social media, there are so many people that's willing to give you their uninformed, unintelligent,
uneducated,
hot take ass opinion.
Right?
And it's typically fruitless. You're gonna lose friendships and shit over some meaningless, just ego. It's all ego, cause you don't wanna back down, they don't wanna back down. When you could just literally go, I actually don't know what the fuck. So,
and I'm tapping out of that conversation.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
When I hear people talk about like certain mental health issues and shit, I haven't struggled with that and I haven't researched that. I can't be out here talking about, yeah, you know, it's clear that from his behavior, I would have to say clearly the man has schizophrenic depression, bipolarism. I'm like, how the fuck do you know that? Did you go to school for that?
Right,
I could just tell by watching TV. Hey, man. Uh-huh. There's a lot of shows that'll give you that. I don't want to be one of them shows.
Nope, I don't want to be one of them shows. And you know what? It's okay to not know. We live in a society where everybody thinks just because you are asked a question, you have to give an answer. Sometimes no comment, or sometimes I don't know nothing about this, or sometimes saying, let me learn about it, is actually the correct answer. But a lot of times you still get criticized for fucking not knowing, even though everybody knows that everybody don't know everything. It's like a lose-lose situation. If I give a uneducated, fucked up opinion, you get roasted. If I say no comment, I don't know, you still get roasted. It's like, well, it's like a lose-lose for a lot of people.
Yeah, I can take the, I didn't know, so that's why people got, I would rather people get mad at me because I'm like, I actually don't have an answer.
And it's okay not
to I'd rather people get mad at me about that than the other way when you leap out there.
Right.
Because, you know, there's a lot of shit going around the world where I just don't have an answer, or it's complicated, or what, you know, you hear somebody talking about Syria. I don't know enough about Syria to have a take. I don't know enough about Palestine to really have a take. Like, everything I learned is secondhand information from somebody else that is passionate about it, and I know motherfuckers are dying for centuries and shit.
Come on.
I don't know what you do when you come to some of these conflicts and some of the things in life, so I just don't give my opinion on such a hot take. And I feel like, for example, I don't know anything about South Africa's version of apartheid that I haven't just read somewhere.
Right.
You know, I don't know what it was like to live there. I don't know what it's like when Trevor Noah says colored is like its own race and it's cultural, not really racial or something. Like, I can't speak to his experience at all. So I wouldn't be over there giving my opinion because I don't fucking know. I could only tell him what I know from America, you know? So Lisa goes on. Trevor's view on racism in the U.S. is interesting to note because immediately after apartheid, the new South African government under Mandela started the Truth and Reconciliation Committee in 1994, which had victims and perpetrators of human rights violations give testimonies in public in an open forum. This process was also broadcast nationally to the home of all South Africans, reminding white people of the horrors of apartheid. Whether that worked or not is a different story altogether. But this could be why Trevor has the attitude that he has. He thinks racists are just people who deserve a chance and can see the error of their ways if you talk to them nicely. This shit would never work in America, a country where too many white people have problems admitting racism didn't begin and end with slavery, where the mainstream idea is to put your head in the sand like an ostrich and pretend these systemic issues are due to people not working hard enough, quote unquote.
Come on.
Or simply being unlucky. I like hearing that the perspective he has as a foreigner, but when it comes to certain things, he should step back and let others lead. Anyways, enough of my word vomit. That wasn't word vomit. That made sense. Mm. Thanks for all that you do, and happy holidays to you and yours. Love always, Lisa. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, baby.
And yeah, I would add this with Trevor Noah. He's in the unenviable position of being in our country at a time when it's extremely volatile racially. And I don't think he can do the job he does as a black person in America without talking about race. I just don't think that's on the table. You know what I mean? It would be as glaring if he didn't talk about it than him talking about it. The problem is him talking about it is just not going to jive with a lot of black people. It's just his approach is just, it's more academic than,
right, it's a separation and you can tell.
Yeah, than a lot of black people would like. The good news for him is his audience is mostly white millennial types or white liberals who don't really have those sensibilities. Like, it doesn't bother them that Tommy Lauren is given a platform because her racism is an abstract thing to them. It doesn't affect their lives, you know. So and you know, I won't lie, man, over the past week or so I found myself like recording like a couple episodes of The Daily Show and stuff, so you know, maybe now that I'm less caught up in the moment, less upset, like just kind of cooler heads are prevailing, you know, I still appreciate what that show does. I'm not like, a lot of people stopped watching a long time ago and then this was just a way for them to like excoriate the show again, to really like go in like, oh, just fuck this show, but they weren't really watching the show.
Mm-mm.
So all their commentary, while valid to some extent, is kind of meaningless because it's not going to reflect in any level of the ratings for the bottom line. And so it's easy to, and plus it's much easier to just say fuck something when you don't participate in it,
right?
But I do really enjoy that format. I really do think the show is important. And I'm just reconciled, just like I do with pretty much every podcasts I listen to, every form of entertainment or news that I or opinion that I absorb, I'm not going to agree with people all the time, and there's going to just have to be room for that, and that's all, you know. If I can still be entertained by you, I'm going to check your stuff out. That's just what it is. And I think Trevor Noah, just like any human being, may still grow into an understanding of race in America that I at least reflects more of my temperament towards it.
True.
You just never know, you know. Anyway, and he may not, for the record. I mean, it's just like President Obama. There's certain things that I look at with President Obama, I'm like, I couldn't agree with that racially, but his experience is his experience, and his optimism is his optimism. I can't take that away from him, no matter how much I feel that I, you know, don't agree with it, you know. I'll add one more thing. Sorry to keep adding addendums to this, but I can't. You got my mind racing. It's kind of like how I know some black people that don't say nigga. Mm-hmm. And y'all know nigga is my favorite word. Mm-hmm. I still respect those people, and I respect their right to not want to be called that or to not use it themselves, you know. And so I think on a lot of things with blackness, people can agree to disagree, and the sad part is when we get to destroying each other over it, you know. Now Trevor Noah's not from America, but there's a lot of black people that delight in being like, coon, you know, get the fuck out of my country, Uncle Tom sellout. Like, we disagree on something racially, therefore you're the most fucking worst person. I can say the worst things about you. You're out of the race, almost, you know. And I think that's a very rudimentary understanding of what racism has done to us and what racial discussion should be. I think a lot of people, it's almost like the Kaepernick thing where it's like he sounds newly woke, like he took woke 101. Yep. And you're like, oh, okay, he's gonna make, and it's a process. You're gonna make the same pitfalls. I only know these things as pitfalls in my opinion right now because I've lived through making those same pitfalls of thinking, oh, I disagree about one thing. This person obviously ain't shit. Fuck him. Fuck the rest of everything that person stands for. And some of it I took growing into being like, okay, not everybody I disagree with is out to destroy the world.
Nope.
You know, and this isn't just about Trevor Noah at this point. It's about a lot of shit, you know. Right. I saw there was a video in our Facebook group where someone posted some white girl twerking, and cool, people gonna agree or disagree about whether white people should be twerking and shit like that. You know, people feel it's absolutely offensive, it's appropriation, and you can say all the mean things you want to about this person. There's other people that are like, look man, I'm black, I can barely twerk, I'm gonna be out here struggle twerking too, and you know, if white people want to come struggle twerk with me, cool, the more the better. This is just kind of us, this is our art form, you know. And that's another lane of thought about it, you know. The same way that some motherfuckers go, white people should never rap, y'all ain't come up with hip-hop, but then some people are like, I don't know, Eminem got bars, what you want me to say? I can't be a fan of his talent because
right,
he's white doing a black thing.
That makes no sense.
Right. So that's just two schools of thought, and it's really opinion. You don't have to subscribe to either one.
Mm-mm.
But it's interesting to watch people tear each other down and then come at each other's blackness over that disagreement. It's like, so now you kicked out of the race, you know, because some of these insults, just like I said about the election, some of the shit you can't come back from. Mm-hmm. You know, you calling people coons and Uncle Toms and you know, projecting onto them all kinds of insulting ideals, you can't just go back to being friends. You know what I mean? Like, the commonality of blackness also leads to a commonality of hurt when it comes to some of these insults. So not everybody can just brush that shit off. And it's sad to see people, like the Trevor Noah thing reminds me of the twerking video, where it's someone didn't agree with the way someone went about trying to quote unquote solve a problem. You know, the propaganda that we have out here, which is we just need conversations and we need to confront this stuff to his face and stuff, you know, not all of us agree. Some people are like, don't even give that shit a platform, don't even acknowledge that those people fucking exist. But you can be equally as black, equally as pro-black, and one person thinks, I'm gonna cuss this motherfucker out to their face, and the other person goes, I wouldn't even have that motherfucker in my fucking show, in my studio. And I still go, that's just two different schools of thoughts from different black people that want the best for our culture.
Right.
You know, and like I said, Trevor's not from our culture, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel about a lot of shit lately. And I see people turn on each other so fast, and I'm just like, what is it inside of us that makes us want to be so dismissive of each other? Because I think we've been hurt so bad mm-hmm. that it's like we got to pass the hurt down. You know what I mean? Because this country has done such a fucking number on us, and it's none of our faults. None of us deserve that shit. But then we do control whether we pass it down to each other.
That's right.
You know, when I talked about black men being the white men, white people are black people, blah, blah, blah. When I talked about that shit, it's about the hurt. I'm not saying I don't love black people. I'm not saying I don't love black men. I'm a black man. But we still are responsible for the contamination that we spread. Like, we can't at once be victims and deny our role in being victimizers as well. That's not responsible. The same way that my father can critique me as a child, and it doesn't mean he doesn't love me. That's how I feel about criticism for us. But we can also just have a difference of opinion sometimes. Not everything, but when it's not just some like anti-blackness, when it's not just some blatant, you know, trolling shit, it would be nice if we could learn to respect that we disagree without it turning into the pejorative names and the coon sell out Uncle Tom, the Negro Bedouins type shit that comes out it just seems like it comes out like that because we've been fighting so much just to survive.
Yeah.
That we use it on each other sometimes so quickly. And that's kind of how I've been feeling about a lot of this shit lately. But I just haven't been able to put the words to it till just now.
Yes, I agree. And also, on top of that, I think for a lot of people, when they go from 0 to 100 like that, the conversation ain't about you. The conversation is about something else. And you happen to be the target of it. You know, okay, we use that video, but when we come out and we say certain things, the hurt and pain is from previous hurt and pain. The hurt and pain isn't from this conversation right here. But I'm gonna take this hurt and pain and instantly throw it out at you.
Right.
And that becomes a problem because every conversation actually is a brand new conversation, and you actually need to treat it like a brand new conversation.
Well, it's just everything. When you've been fighting, everything feel like a fight.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you've been receiving punches, sometimes a punch feels like the answer. You know, whether it's reasonable or not, because look at a lot of our existences online. You fighting. You know what I mean? You fighting. Even when you just want to do something positive, you fighting. Yeah. Even if you just want to say something that you think will bring people together, you gotta fight. You know, I tweeted something this morning about HB2 and how I'm glad we signed up and we need to get McCrory out. Just now I had to block somebody on Twitter because they was like, you know, HB2 is really just about keeping these child molesters out of the bathroom. First of all, a child molester don't need child molester looking at bathroom signs now. That's
come on.
You someone that's already molesting children, they like, oh, I wouldn't want to break the bathroom law.
Right.
Anyway, the point being, I shouldn't have to fight to say that. But now that I'm in fight mode, the next person that comes along might just be like, I saw Rogue One and I didn't like it. And now I'm in fight mode. So it's like, man, fuck you. I didn't ask you if you liked Rogue One or not. I just said I liked it, you know, and it's that kind of thing. We're constantly fighting, you know? And I just feel like we can't, sometimes we get so caught up in it that people are fighting each other all the time, and it's just not worth it. It's not, like, yeah, in my opinion, because it's a temporary relief anyway.
Right.
It's a temporary, like, you feel good
the issue
temporarily. Right. You know, it's like everyone on social media is looking for a sparring partner, and you feel good temporarily, but at the end of the day you don't actually feel good because your goal was more like to be in the fight than it was to reach a common understanding.
Right.
You know, like, I'm able to look at, you know, the twerking video and see both sides of that and go, yeah, I can see reasonably how you could feel like, I don't like this shit. Get the fuck away from my culture. And I can see how you could reasonably feel like, you know what? The more the fucking merrier. Long as you ain't causing no problems, you are welcome to come to the Black People Party. Just, you know, can't sit up front or whatever the fuck, you know, whatever whatever makes you feel comfortable. But the point being, it feels increasingly so like it's just less and less people like that. But anyway, sorry guys, big tangent. But yeah, that's what that Trevor Noah shit made me think about, was because like I said, I would be lying if I've watched a couple episodes since then and been like, yeah, I just don't, obviously I think he's good at his job, obviously I think the show is good, I just won't be ever agreeing with him having Tommy Lauren on. I don't think his approach to solving race shit, I don't agree with it. And I think it was a sensationalistic ratings grab, and I can think that about him and still not feel like I have to throw that person away. I just don't agree with it, and I tell him that to his face. But end of the day, I'm not him. I don't control him. All I control is if I watch or not, and I don't feel like what he did was enough to make me not watch his show anymore. So is Danny the journalist a real person, was the poll. 100% of you said no, it's just a troll again. Emil says, from the lawyer to journalist, this dude just never stops. What is happening here, Karen voice? I wonder if this Renfro person just enjoys getting dragged on the show. I'm half expecting more letters. Maybe he'll get burned out just trying to maintain all those Gmail accounts, Emil. Yeah, eventually you're gonna lose a password. But yeah, I agree. I think it's funny because I'm pretty sure the troll just wanted to see if we would stop talking about him. And my whole thing was like, if you stop right then, we'll stop talking about you.
Yes, we will.
And I know you don't want to listen to this show. You voted for Trump. There's no way you want to listen to this progressive ass black show. So you got to sit through 2.5 hours just to figure out if we said something. Come on, man. Black Gaytheist Palette says, so what's going on? What's going to be Renfro's next alter ego? I'm banking on a black woman, but something cartoonish like one of those black women that support Trump. Shaking my head, sad face. Bro just says, just trying to write a story, bro. You had a right to know, bro. Oh, that's good. Let's see. We had next episode, which was 1342. And it was called Tiana Trump is Free. Because, you know, it was a big milestone for black people. Mm-hmm. B writes, Miss Karen, mm-hmm. or Mrs. Karen. Mrs. Karen and this read about seat at the table. Here for it. Had to hold onto my Kindle and let a few tears go. Thank you for this. Oh. A lot of people love your thoughts on seat at the table. And how you broke it down. It was awesome. So
thank you.
I just tried to sit back and shut up, let it happen. Who was right in the hashtag you name it challenge? The DJ made it not, hot, so let him keep his money. Or render therefore unto Shirley Caesar the things which are Shirley Caesar's, and unto thoughts the things that are thoughts. 21% of you guys said the DJ made it hot, let him keep his money. And 79% of y'all said, render therefore unto Shirley Caesar the things which are Shirley Caesar's, and unto thoughts the things that are thoughts. So most of y'all say, give her money.
Right.
Evie says, pay Shirley her coin. That beat might have been hot, but it wouldn't have been hot without her.
Come on, dog.
Yeah.
You gonna profit off of her name and her voice? Yeah, you need to pay her.
Yeah, he really tried to be like, I made you. I did this for you. You welcome.
Right, when, like, nigga, she been around probably literally longer than you been born. What are you talking about here?
Mm-hmm. Episode 1343, Can't Hack the Willing, had a couple comments. Silverback says, God damn! This was good. This is a good episode title, y'all, and episode 2. Made me do the proprietary black, uh-huh, Then when I read the title, Karen and Rod, y'all keep on giving me life through this podcast. I'm gonna have to go on Amazon and buy me some MLK church fans while interacting with the show. The devil is a lie. Real Dark Knight says, I don't feel sorry for at all for Young Thug or any of these young cats putting shit on video. He was more than willing to clown these women on video since that would get all the clicks and not really have to apologize for it. As much shit as black women take, I don't know what to do about these dudes. Maybe I'm just old. Karen, I don't know why I didn't ever want a pair in my... Oh, I know why I didn't ever want a pair in my house dry snitching while I'm not there. I didn't know they'd be dry snitching, man.
They mimic things around them.
I never owned a pair, too. Who knows what y'all gonna hear in my house? Make it nasty. Want me to take some out?
Oh, Lord.
Wesley Pipes pair would be a good... Yeah,
I want some pair. What? Make what nasty?
I love these white girls. Did Power get snubbed by the Golden Globes? Yes, it deserved to be recognized, or no, it's not good. It's not that good. 23% of y'all said yes, it deserved to be recognized, which means the vast majority of y'all, 77%, said it's just not that good. That green guy said season one was hot fire, but they just started doing too much, like having undead evil 50 Cent get out pedophile with the kid from the barbershop so he could avenge that other kid that Ghost didn't even kill. I haven't watched any of this. Eddie Long writes in, Brother Rod, oh, Sister Karen, I can't believe that Power was disrespected by not being honored with a Golden Globe nomination. With all those glistening golden rumps and those love scenes, it's a travesty. Kind regards, empathy and sympathy. Oh, Eddie. Cal says, fuck 50 and good on the GGG Golden Globes. Oh, no. Should have spent more time on the show and less time trolling Women Empire. I do love that, Kyle. He was talking shit out here. Trying to troll women and Empire. That's a good point. Last episode was 12 Years of Mullet. That was our recap of the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
See what you guys had to say about this. Dune Dragon writes in, sorry for the long comment, but I'm trying to extend things before The Walking Dead withdrawal sets in. Rob, you killed me with your Morgan impersonation. I was brushing my teeth at the time and did a spit take. The gist you had about Carol and her ability to fight in the next half of the season takes me back to the last season, episode 12, where Carol and Maggie were captured by the saviors and Carol was having panic attacks clutching the rosary beads. Carol's acting weak and feeble is so good. I don't know whether that was real or an act now, right?
Yeah.
I said that at the time. I was like, I don't, either she the best actress of all time or she really was fucked up, because some of the scenes she didn't need to keep acting like that, and she still seemed like she didn't want to kill. And then when she came back to camp, she didn't seem like she was acting then. This is what you call breaking the fourth wall with her deceptive acting. Even us at home don't know. Now, Negan has had lots of laissez-faire postures while giving his monologues with Lucille in hand, but none is more pimpish than when he walked out to meet Spencer on the porch. He defied gravity. He leaned back so far. That nigga looked like he was the former smooth criminal background dancer. Yeah, he did. He did, like, he was leaning. I'm waiting to see a meme where they put a Huggy Bear hat on him and hat and coat on him. I'm sorry. Is it me, or does the time it takes to turn deceased has it decreased seriously since season one? Oh, the time to be a zombie. I wasn't expecting Spencer to change that soon. It does seem like it's speeding up. And now, once again.
Because Andrea's sister took forever.
Once again, convenient zombie stuff, okay? It so, like.
Depends.
Some of this shit seems like it's just for whatever makes the narrative better, you know? And it could be zombie turning shit. It's just whatever makes the narrative better, mm-hmm. You know? But, yeah, it does seem like. There's been some real fast ones lately. Someone knocking on our door? No. I don't know. Fuck them. Well, they ain't call. Anyway,
did you order some Amazon or something?
I don't know.
Okay.
They leave it at the desk, I guess.
Okay.
And finally, for the second week in a row, I'm writing in a Whisperer's theory. This time it's on Wire Boots, as they are not showing a face, and the clothes did look a little bit tattered. I think it's them slipping in the plot the same way the Saviors slipped in while we were fretting over the Wolves. So you think it could be the Whisperers from the comic book? That'd be interesting, because that's definitely not how they met the motherfuckers in the comic. Yeah, that's interesting. Also, it would seem like, my personal opinion is that I don't think they would do that yet, because that story's not finished in the comic.
Right.
And I don't think they want to get to it yet. That's my guess. Okay.
I don't think they do either. I might be wrong, but I doubt that.
Yeah. It feels like that would be a whole season in itself.
Yes, sir.
And not the B story to a second half of this season. But what do I know? You know, I think we're gonna get some other stuff that comes before that happens.
I do too.
Anyway, but that's still a great guess. I don't know, could be Alpha or Beta, even though he says don't call him that. Great podcast as usual. The shakes have started. Think I have to go back and watch one of my favorite scenes on the loop to keep me over. Tainted meat. Hope Karen is 100% now for the procedure piece. Thanks, Doom Dragon.
Thank you.
Imani says, you come at the king, you best not miss Rosita. Had one job and you only grazed Lucille. You don't get to talk shit to Eugene ever again. He held up his end of the bargain and you blew it. He told her ass that she wasn't gonna be the one to pay. She was there, she knew it too, but she was talking all that cash shit only to miss. Meanwhile, her old fuck toy Spencer got all cleaned up for his date, and Negan damn sure did get up in them guts. he did. He just got caught navel gazing, y'all. Listen, the only thing Negan did wrong this episode was do all that cooking and not even clean up. Rick gotta make him pay for that. Yes, Rick. Daryl handed his dick back. I mean, his gun, and he left Rick behind.
Oh, Lord.
EVE says, if I was Daryl, I would have left a doo-doo surprise in Dwight's peanut butter, but that's just me because I'm petty. Ugh. Ah! I mean, does Daryl even have enough to shit on command? I mean, they ain't really been feeding him much. And have they been feeding him enough dog food to really?
That's the truth.
Where is he going to the bathroom? I can't even see a toilet in that cell. Wiz Khaleesi also said, Lisa writes in, looks like Spencer got a gut full of Negan's knife. Yeah, CSI music.
That's good. Waffle food again.
He did.
That's my jam.
He smashed him. He chopped his guts to smithereens. CSI Miami theme plays loudly and shatters your eardrums. In all seriousness, I have so, it was so obvious once we saw Creepy Spencer holding Enid's balloons ransom. The creepy savior holding Enid's balloons ransom. Negan may be brutal, but he's the only one keeping that group of degenerates from raping and killing wherever they please. Yep. Sure, there's lots of Sherry's, Dwight's, and Fat Joseph's, rest in peace, just trying to survive, but Negan probably has a lot of serial killers and other violent criminals in his crew too. Lord help us all if they get loose and they let loose on the world. The upside is they might end up killing each other. Also, count me in on the spinoff of The Walking Dead called Adventure of Negan's Black Wife, unofficial title, where we get a flashback of how she survived up until she settled into the sanctuary, and how Negan sends special raiding groups just to keep her hair laid and skin moisturized. Haha. Anyway, love you guys. Yeah, I just want to see her being like making out that list, you know.
To peak oil moisturizer. Right.
Get cussing the savior out for bringing back the wrong shit.
I didn't want that type of jail.
Right. Just for me.
What I look like, 12?
Right. Although I would also like to see it, like, maybe what if she was just like an Instagram thought? Like, what if before this she just had airplanes in her bio and was out here getting flown out, you know? And she was like, this is a skill set.
I'm a professional.
Right. I'm about to work my way to the top. How was the first half of season 7 for the fans? It was good. It was okay. Or it was bad. It was good. 61% thought it was good. Okay. 29% thought it was just okay. And 11% thought it was bad. Now, hopefully the people that didn't see it all voted that it was good, because y'all didn't even see it, okay? Y'all, that means y'all are judging our podcast recaps of it and nothing else. That's wrong. That green guy says, my bad, did you mean badass? Anthony Animal Thug Tatum says, I was glad to see Spencer got cut open. I can't wait to see what the second half of the show offers us. Yeah, I wonder if Spencer was gonna be at the Walker Stalker Con. I didn't see a sign for him.
Don't remember.
Yeah. I guess his season got cut in half. We did have one voicemail. Let me see if I can play this for you guys.
Hi, Rod and Karen. This is Angie or Veggie Dixon on Twitter. I have been meaning to send a voicemail, but every time I think about it, I'm always behind. So this is a very generic voicemail. Just to say that I just really appreciate both of y'all just being on the podcast, having this platform, and making me laugh all the time, making me be informed. And I'm a premium listener, so even doubly so, I really get educated because I know nothing about sports, and I feel like I know just a little bit to be serious and dangerous with ball feet. And I really appreciate knowing about The Walking Dead, because I didn't think I was one of those assholes, but maybe I am one of those assholes that doesn't have a TV. And yeah, I can't afford it, and I don't want to afford it. But I know something about The Walking Dead, which is something I would never watch. But this has really helped me with my Secret Santa, because they love The Walking Dead. Oh, so I feel like I can seriously find something that they will like, and I will be the toast of Secret Santa this year.
Yeah.
So I thank you. I appreciate you. I love you being who you are and everything. Every time I think of something that's going on in my day, something about the black guy who tips always triggers it, especially when I went to our financial meeting at church. I was crying inside because I was thinking about your tweets, because even though people were tripping, they said it. I said it. So, y'all have a good day.
Have a good one, sweetie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the message. We got some emails. Also, I got all y'all's addresses for the holiday cards, and I'll be sending those out soon.
Do you have the things for the Amazon stuff we got this week?
Oh yeah, man.
Are they in here? Do I need?
I got them. Okay. We got. Listen, they got us so much shit. It's all right.
Yeah, thank you, everybody.
This is crazy.
Thank you.
So,
and they Chris all came in at the same time, just about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a lot of them at the same time. Like Karen, they the dudes from the post offices. Had to help Karen carry the shit out because it was so much shit.
Thank you. Yeah,
like some of the stuff I just put on the list because I'm like, no one's ever gonna get this, but people get stuff all the time, and I added some stuff to the list too, you know, for people.
Yeah.
So we got a Carolina Panthers super soft fleece blanket.
Yeah.
We got that from Christy G. Thank you very much, Christy. Mm-hmm. I will be rocking that one. Because Karen has both blankets and her little pillow fort that I set up for her. And contrary to popular belief, it's cold as fuck. So I be getting cold now, man. I'll be like, I wish I had a blanket, but Karen over there laying on both of them. So now
I'm always cold though.
Right. And I'll see who else. Samir got us some stuff. Hold on, I think. Samir got us two things, I think. She season greetings and all that shit with love, Samir. And she got us the Smell My Nuts scented mason jar candle.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love Smell My Nuts. It's the best candle I've ever had.
Smell good, y'all.
And Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition Blu-ray, which that's the only way I said I was gonna watch the extended cut is if somebody bought it for me, because I'm not paying. So I will be watching that. Maybe I'll even live tweet it for everybody. We can all have some fun. We got this Christmas card here. If you can see, I don't know if you guys can see, but it kind of moves around like the the glittery things inside. Aww. Rod and Karen, thanks for all the hard work and consistent edutainment you give us. Edutainment, you took it back to Karen's one. Edutainment you give us all. May 2017 bring you all the bliss you can stand. Send a little Christmas magic your way. Bernadette at Demetria 2000, aka DD. Thank you DD. And we will keep this. We keep mm-hmm. these.
Yeah, we keep the cards.
We got one. Tis the season to be jolly, with some penguins on the front. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas, Rod and Karen. Wishing you a fun-filled holiday season. Thank you so much for such an amazing podcast. May 2017 bring you great opportunities and tons of money, Stephanie. Oh, that money, you know what I'm saying. That dollar make me holler, honey boo boo.
I know it's so.
Like, I'm not fucking around. It's the money. Jane writes in, hi, enjoy your gift. Merry Christmas from Jane at the written one. And she sent us, she sent us two sets of stemless, not sets, two different stemless wine glasses. And, the glasses have, funny sayings on them, like, I don't know off the top of my head. Hold on. One of them's like, I'm gonna get them. Good day, and it's like a bar at the bottom. Then bad day, and it's like a bar in the middle. And then it's like, don't even fucking ask me. And it's like a bar at the top. So you fill it up to however good or bad your day was. So it just, made sense, man. And, yeah, it's the stemless wine glasses, which is for real luscious, okay? Some of y'all, I mean, it's no offense, okay? No offense. Some of y'all gotta step your drink game up, okay? If your wine glasses still got stems, you're not drinking enough. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Good day, bad day, do not ask. And then the other one says, just a sip, keep pouring, don't judge me. So yeah, I love both of these. I've already drank out of them. So, and it was at the don't judge me brand, level. So thank you at the written one. And let's see what else. Oh, we got this. One of my favorite things about this time of year is the cute little elves, and it's a polar bear on the front wearing a Christmas hat, and then the side it says, they taste like chicken. Merry Christmas. Karen. Karen and Rod, thank you for bringing us joy. Just a little thing from Canada to say thank you. A little something from Canada to say thank you. Merry Christmas to you, Yolanda. And she gave us bourbon maple syrup. Mm-hmm. Nigga. Oh my God. And then my man P. Andre Joseph hit us up with Karen, what kind of alcohol was it? Can you go grab it real quick? The big ass bottles. He got one for us and one for Justin. Cause he actually sent his in for Balls Deep, and the Blackout Tips. Cause he loves Balls Deep. You know what I mean? I don't want to fuck it up cause it was, some really expensive, like top shelf type liquor. So I was just like, this for us? Two bottles, you know. It was the Hennessy, that's what it was, you know. And you know we will enjoy it because we are Negroes. So this is the fine cognac of choice for many a Negro palate. So man, it's just y'all have really blessed us, man. Really hooked us up in a lot of ways with a lot of stuff. It's to the point where I'm trying to keep up with y'all by adding stuff to the list, but it's like people get shit on there so fast. I'm just like, you know, I'm just trying not to pick out things that's too crazy. Somebody bought us one of the people, gave us, and I think I may have forgotten who it was, but we got a, box of Keurig cups, K cups, mm-hmm. Because I drink coffee pretty much every morning mm-hmm. before I come in this office and do podcast related shit. And, you know, it keeps me going, man. I had coffee just now to start the show. So yeah, those K-cups comes in, it always comes into play, man. All right. Now to the emails, and we got quite a few.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I can't tell you thank you enough.
Lisa writes in, Christmas. Hi, Rod and Karen. I've been enjoying your show just over a year. Sorry I haven't donated yet, but soon, I promise. You have made this crazy year 2016 bearable, and I want to send you a Christmas card. Now for some unabashed admiration. I love the thoughtful and funny commentary that you guys do. Karen's laugh equals gold. Rod's dry humor and justified pettiness has gotten me through many bad days at work, and white people news as a palate cleanser for the awesome, yet simultaneously infuriating, fucking with black people. All these segments have literally saved lives, since listening to you two has distracted me from having to put my hands on people on 3 bus commutes to and from work. I also love how you guys end each show. Black love, man. You guys really are the best. Thank you for the great work. Wishing you a speedy recovery, Karen. Love, L. Thanks, L.
Thank you, baby.
We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad we saved those people's lives, okay? You know, we don't want you to go to jail for murder. Mm-mm. You guys are savage. This is from random black guy who says, this podcast is probably the one I listen to the most ever since my brother from the same other Silverback put me on. Karen is one of the best co-hosts I heard. She reminds me of my Kentucky aunts. And Rod, you a savage, man. It is a pleasure to listen to the Black Guy Tips. And thank you for reading my email. This is my first email and I've been listening to you for years. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for putting them on, man. If it wasn't for Silverback, you know, word of mouth, man. That's what gets a lot of us listeners.
More than anything else, literally word of mouth.
The OGs. This is from Jeremy, who says, hey, Rod and Karen. I'm Jeremy, a.k.a. Black_Dynamite/Kung Fucius. Oh, Kung Fucius cracked me up every time.
Yeah, because I was like, who is this person?
From the Crown and College podcast. I love you guys, and you along with my work, Bay Mail. Oh, yeah, we know Mail. Are really one of the inspirations to start my podcast 2 years ago. I love to guest the recap day walking with you guys. If you'll have me or just guest one day in general, it will be an honor. Hey, man, I'll reach out when it comes back. Maybe you can hop on a Walking Dead recap with us. No, it's no problem. Mm-mm. Keep up the great work. I'm too broke to go premium. I'll continue to uplift and support y'all until I get my money right. No Kanye, LOL. And I wish Karen a speedy recovery so she can hit us with that good yes.
Thank you, man.
And yeah, man, just remind me when it comes back cause in case I forget. But
right.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to hop on, man. We always have like certain weeks where I'm like, I couldn't find a guest or I was too lazy to reach out. You know, we do have a list of people I do need to get back on and stuff, mm-hmm. But you know, it's really about what we can fit into the schedule at the time.
True.
Tim writes in, just writing to vent. What's going on, Rod and Karen? It's your boy, Black Gay Theist Pilot, or you can call me Tim if that's too long. No, I like Black Gay Theist Pilot, dog. That's, you came up with that. It's creative and original. Writing to wish y'all happy holidays in Trump's America. I wanted to share a personal Trump's America white privilege entitlement story that I got to experience firsthand this week that kind of took me out of the holiday spirit. Uh-oh. Take a sip of this water. Mm-mm-mm. So through good money management and right circumstances, I own a 4-bedroom house on my own. Not bragging, but it's relevant to the story. First of all, nigga, I would brag if I was you.
But what?
But second of all, I'm glad it's relevant to the story. Mm-hmm. But I would start all my emails off with, anyway, I'm in one of my 4-bedroom homes, in the home that I own by myself.
By myself, dog.
Writing you guys to say, how's your holidays?
How's your peasant life doing?
As broke niggas. You peasants.
Come on.
You look like some Africans. No, I'm just kidding.
What
if he wrote in like Young Thug?
Oh no, don't do that, baby. No, don't do that, baby.
Oh man,
I don't bring nothing in here but the straight head Negroes.
That would be hilarious. Anyway. While the extra income, over the years I've had roommates on and off. And while the extra income is a plus, I hate people, so I usually only room with friends who are in a bind and looking for a temporary place to live while they search for their own place. A couple of months ago, a white friend of mine asked if he could move in for a few months until spring because he was struggling to make ends meet and needed to play catch up on some bills. With it being the holiday, I said yes, and he promptly moved in. Now in the 2 months he's lived here, he's lost 2 jobs. His 8-year-old son now lives with us a few days every other week, and he didn't tell me about his custody agreement until after he moved in. Ooh.
Oh yeah, I'd be mad about that too, because that's something that you should tell me, because I might not want no kids up in here.
Yeah, nigga, you can't just be bringing no kids up in my crib. First of all, the agreement was for you.
The agreement was for you.
No, sir. I already know what happened. He walked up in your four bedroom house,
right?
And started just looking around.
Oh my God, this beautiful.
It was like, I'm gonna stay. He said, oh my God, this beautiful. Like, he was like, me and my son about to be living here like pursuit of happiness.
Come on.
Oh man, that's sad, man.
Right, that's something you should tell people up front. Now, see, he probably purposely didn't tell you because you probably wouldn't may have told him no.
Yeah, you know. So, and also, why wouldn't you just tell your ex or whatever, like, I'm, you know, I currently don't have a place to stay. I'm staying with somebody. I can't keep our son. I can't keep my son. I don't know. That's tricky. I don't know nothing about y'all kids, but it seemed like some communication was missing here. You cannot just assume motherfuckers would be cool with that. So he also goes on to say, oh, and I already had to tell him that his girlfriend doesn't live here and can't stay five nights a week. She literally moved her shit in within a week of him moving in. The icing on the cake was I found out he's been going around town telling people that the reason he's living with me is because I am broke, so I needed to move him in, and that he's renting to own.
Bitch, what? Woo! You a good one, cause honey, you'd have came home. I'd be like, oh, well, rent to own this. Here's your shit.
Oh, I know you would have came home, but just like 12, this. 15.
Yeah, it was 12:15, exactly. If I'm not mistaken, it was.
Now you see something. Now you see now. You done fucked up, you know that, don't you?
I see what I'm saying. I thought.
No, so, you know what I'm saying? That you done fucked up now, you know that, don't you?
No,
you done fucked up, don't you? No, it don't. No, you done fucked up.
Without the tape, they had nothing.
I'm gonna be as soon as you walk in the house. So you've been telling people that you
we did discuss that on spot.
Nah, I told them that I rent from
we discussed
that I'm renting to own. Now you know you done fucked up, don't you?
And I looked at him and said, oh, right this minute, you, your girlfriend, and your baby gotta get out. I don't care what you do, I don't care where you go. I don't care nothing about your Christmas. Y'all got to go.
Nigga, I turned to Ebenezer Scrooge.
What?
Think I'm gonna be.
I'd have been like the motherfucking Grinch. Give me the Tinkerbells, the Dinklebells, the Dumbberries, and everything
else. I love you. No homo. But we threw Jesus out.
Yeah, Jesus out, bro. That's the last straw. You're not gonna be lying on my good name, bro. Tim goes on to write, the fuck, this broke, lazy, out of work white boy who only pays rent by borrowing money from family is telling people I'm broke. He seriously moved in and tried to Christopher Columbus my house from me. I promptly gave him a 30-day notice and he's still surprised as to why I was so mad.
Bitch, what? You get the fuck out of my house. You surprised I'm mad? Cause you know what? I'm putting your ass out. Guess what? That's what.
Nigga, why hast thou forsaken me? You said you was loyal, but you wasn't. You said you was faithful, but you lying ass bitch.
Yeah, but like this, and you nice, you real nice. You was like, I give you a 30-day notice, bitch. Your shit would have been packed outside. I'd have called you an Uber and be like, you need to get the fuck out of here. You gonna goddamn 30-day notice. I own this bitch, not you. You a visitor.
Dang, it ain't even happened to us and we mad.
Right?
I know you was mad.
And you a good one, baby, because I'm gonna tell you right now, he'd hit the wrong one. It'd have been some goddamn assault charges. He'd hit that door, people to put them motherfucking where you said what, bitch?
You know what's funny is that, you know, he presented it to Tim like, oh, we in on it together. You know, like, the dude, I don't know why you getting so mad. I had to tell him something. Nigga, you are telling people I'm broke to make yourself look
better
when this shit was charity I gave to you. No, that's none of this is okay. We're not in it together. We're not friends. The audacity of white people. And this is someone who I have been friends with for several years. Ugh. Anyways, on a lighter note, is it too late to request a holiday card? No, it's not too late. If not, my address is below. Thank you for providing the platform for the Black Gal Tells Nation. Thank you for letting me vent, even if you didn't read this on the show. Oh, we read it. Yeah, if you send it to the show, unless, I mean,
you say you put in that do not read or something like that, right?
Also, if you don't want us to read, put it at the top, because sometimes I get to the end and I'm like, you know, I would ask, like, some, there's a couple times I've read people shit by accident. John writes in, trolls Trevor in the election, etc. Dear Ryder Karen, first off, fuck that Jen Fro critter, get her asshole a million times over. That said, I love it when Petty Rod Pest Control comes out of for a service call. Karen, your laugh is the best. It always lifts my spirits.
Thank you.
Especially when you start laughing about something so hard that it completely derails the show, like Kunta Kinte jokes, Count Chocolate and lesbian gangbang scenarios in The Walking Dead. Don't feel bad, Karen. My mind totally went there too.
See?
I guess y'all was into that tunneling. just wanted to say, this has been a great show of, a great run of shows lately. The segments on the Catholic Church sending app, sex ed, very special TV episodes, etc., was some of the funniest shit I've heard in ages. I think Trevor Noah's interview with Tommy Lauren did have value as a teachable moment for white liberals who need to understand why some of the premises that they might share with Lauren, though in more muted forms, are wrong and why they are racist. Unfortunately, Noah then went on to do all the problematic bullshit after the interview, sigh.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way too, where I was like, okay, I can talk myself into being okay with this, and then it was just like, oh wait, no, this is what is happening, why are you still kicking it with her? Right. this is you went too far. As the holidays and the year end draw near, I wanted to thank you guys for putting out such an amazing show. It's been a real nice way to try to remedy the psychological breakdown that this election has wrought on all of us. On that note, I also wanted to thank you for your awesome election coverage. And specifically, I remember on the day after the election, but during your discussion, you both mentioned what an awful disappointment it was, even for white people who supported Hillary. A lot of the people in my social circle are white liberals who are heavily committed and work real hard to try and keep Trump out of office. They take intersectionality seriously, and we're extremely excited that Hillary would not only break the glass ceiling for women, but that she seemed to be doing it with a real emphasis on diversity and inclusion, and they were thrilled that our country was finally starting to quote unquote get it. Election day will always haunt me. We walked out up to the polling place and my wife was over the moon. She has dealt with so much sexist bullshit throughout her life and was ecstatic to see a great woman finally in the land's highest office, especially after enduring the awful sexist campaign by Trump in the media. And I was thrilled to be there by her side. At one polling place, there were lots of people of all color, we live in a pretty diverse area, who had brought their daughters to the polls to witness what we thought was going to be a historic moment. And I was thrilled to be with them on the right side. Well, you know what happened next. Anyways, I really appreciate the fact that amidst all the jokes about the awfulness of white people for electing Trump, and we fully deserve the shaming, that you guys were able to spare a kind thought to the people who were devastated by the result. It's one of the reasons I love you both in the show and the Facebook group. Yeah, man, I'll just say, in general, there's, of the people who got the most quote unquote horn swoggled or the wool pulled over their eyes, it had to be progressive white women. And that's not to be like, y'all go to the top of the victim line. Like, it's just the matter. It's like, as a matter of course, I think obviously people with the highest proximity to whiteness are normally the most trusting of whiteness. The way social media circles are shaken out and the way everything's been filtered out, liberal white women have probably for the most part been living in a liberal white existence online. So your Facebook people and all the people that you either disagree with in life or whatever, they're not really they're not really in your circle. And then the other part is there was a very big contingent of white people that, and especially white women, who just didn't say anything.
Right.
They just let those women be vocal and talk about Hillary and defend her and shit, but in their mind they were just kind of like, I'm not voting for her. And I think they felt the most like betrayed by that contingent of white folks. You know, white men for the most part just did what they always do, you know, like 90% clip, you can count on them for the most part voting against their self-interest if they, you know, or they're voting because of the privileges they exist, they experience through life. Most of them are going to support the Republican candidate forever. Like, I don't know what would have to change for them to not do it, but particularly white women this time with this candidate probably felt the quote-unquote girl power of it to a level that I know black women didn't feel, because black women were very much like, I'm gonna vote for her because she's the least of the problems that I have with these candidates.
Still got problems with her.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of gung-ho black women that from my experience. Not that there were none, there were some that, I mean, shit, some worked for her campaign and shit. There was you know, and my personal philosophy is to not, for me personally, it wouldn't have felt right to vote against the candidate that black women chose, because she's the candidate that black women chose. The black women that voted overwhelmingly voted for her. So to me, if I place a vote in this election and it goes against what black women are voting for, to me that feels antithetical to all the shit that I believe. So and there's been a large rejection of this, where it's like black women obviously are wrong. If you're out here talking about not voting, if you're out here talking about voting for Trump, if you're out here talking about voting for third party candidates, it just felt like a lot of people were saying, it's almost a slap in the face to the black women that went, I'm gonna hold my nose and vote for Hillary, and just did the quote unquote right thing while other people took the luxury to not. So all that being said, there's a fine line between wanting justice and being jealous. And I think a lot of people are more jealous of white supremacy than they are about equality for all.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of people that, as far as they're concerned, you know, and I try to keep this out of our Facebook group, try to keep it off of our show. This isn't a show about hating white people.
It is not.
You know, this isn't a show about, how, like, I hate white supremacy.
Yes.
You know, I want to be able, I hate the programming and conditioning of this country. My goal is to be able to love people, period, because I feel like we're only here for a finite amount of time, and I don't want to leave a legacy on this earth of the hate that was within me that I passed on to people. But I will, you know, I want to love people. I just hate anti-blackness. I hate, you know, but there's a lot of people that, for a lot of reasons, whether it's romantically seeing white people, white women, white men as competition, whether it's, you know, the past hurt of injustices that have been done to us, whether it's the systemic shit that I think they've traded in being against white supremacy to being jealous of white supremacy and just wanting that shit for themselves. And they pitch in the, and I have that within me. Like, I have that pettiness. I have that anger where sometimes I just want to be the one in charge and I want to get to make the decisions and I want to tell people fuck themselves. But that's not really justice.
No, it's not.
That would just make me as bad as other people. So I don't want to do that, and I don't want to have a show where it just sounds like us telling, like, quote unquote picking on white people, because that's not what we're doing.
Nope.
But I do want a show where we talk about privilege and dismantling it. And in America, the most privileged people are going to be white people. It's going to be males. It's going to be heterosexual people. It's going to be cisgender people. It's going to, like, the, every level, Americans throughout the world, it's just everybody has some level of privilege at some point. And I'm against the use of that to harm.
Right.
That's it. You know what I mean? Does that mean the bullseye, the target, quote unquote, ends up on whiteness a lot of times? Yeah. Historically, it will. That's the way things have been trending. I'd be less than honest to not talk about it. We'd be less than honest to not talk about it. But as far as the idea of, you know, we had a dude in our forums that he was just harassing every white member of our Facebook group when they said something. And he had to go.
Yes, sir. You can't do that.
You know what I mean? That's not the goal of what we do. And if you think it is, you're listening to the wrong show.
Yes, you are.
Because we don't want you in our group either. You know what I mean? And I would say, and I say, if if I won't let someone come into our group and say, talk shit on black women, I can't turn around and be like, but it's cool if you want to come in and talk shit about gay people, or it's cool if you want to talk, come in and what, you know, every time you see an Asian person say something because you don't like something that another Asian person said, you gonna go in on them. Like, that doesn't make sense for a group of people that are consider themselves fans of us to go around harassing each other. So we try to avoid that shit. And if it just happens to be a person that's being targeted because they're white or something, we don't want that shit on our behalf either. Mm-hmm. That being said, still gotta tell the truth. And anybody that's listening to this show, if you've been listening long enough, you have to be comfortable with being critiqued as a white person, because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But critiques are love too. It's not just about hating people.
Right. A lot of people do not. For some people, when they hear a critique, even if it's coming from a place of love, instead of being willing to listen, they automatically get defensive and right. just assume that you're trying to hurt them when the critique is not coming from a place of hatred or pain.
Yeah, all the time. And then also just, you know, I know right now there's black people listening to this that are, because of the damage that's been done to us, they're like, here they go caping for a white person or some shit. And like, it's, that's the damage that's been done to us, is that we can't even say, because that's what most of us believe, which is, well, I don't want to then take the hate that's been done to me and pass it on to somebody else. There's people that are, we're so fucked up, like we just can't even have like camaraderie. Like, we can't even be like, well, nah, I'm not here to hurt you, but I am here to tell this truth, you know. And yeah, if someone's listening to the show, I'm assuming that, you know, there's a lot of tough shit that we say. That's shit that I don't like talking about, but you know, as a black man, I'm like, fuck, can T.I. shut the fuck up? You know what I mean? Like, there's shit I don't want to have to come on the air and say again and again and again. But at any rate, man, we don't try to have a show that's just about hating any group of people. That, mm-mm. to me, that's not our goal. But I'm sure there's plenty of shows that do have that. But mm-hmm. it's not our goal.
No.
Hope you both have Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Holidays, including my address for the holiday card, if there's any left. There should be. Your mm-hmm. show in the community is a wonderful thing to be a part of. P.S. I would love to see Protect and Serve the movie. Set up a GoFundMe and I'm in.
I'm here for Protect and Serve too.
Though I think you still got to find a role for Chadwick Boseman and maybe let Tom Hanks' son team up with Lil Wayne and do some sort of racism doesn't exist theme rap song for the soundtrack.
Ah, that'd be flaming
movies. Oh, shit. Cheers and love to you all, John. All right.
Thank you, baby.
Move your address to the holiday card thing. All right, let's see. You guys are awesome. Tony Wright saying, hey Rod and Karen, just wanted to let you know I'm seriously enjoying your show after recently discovering you guys on Stitcher. Plan to become a premium supporter after the new year. Keep up the good work. Love you guys. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thank you
it
very much. And we still chart on Stitcher. Thank you.
Caritha writes in, TBGWT love. Dear Rod and Karen, as you already know, I love the show. I wanted to share a bit of why beyond what I put in my 5-star review a while back. I think part of why I got hooked is that y'all sound like home to me. I grew up in the country not far from Houston, Texas. I lived on a dirt road that didn't get paved until the year 2000. However, even before I had ever traveled anywhere outside of Houston or the state of Texas, people would often ask me where I was from. For some reason, I never really had an accent. But y'all sound similar to how I think I sound. And you certainly sound like my family. I'm so grateful to hear people who sound like my family, but who also say things I never heard growing up. You know, progressive stances on gender, sexuality, etc. The combination of family sounds with a worldview I wish more of my family members had feels like such a gift to my soul.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you. Also, I appreciate the comments you have to make about how each person needs to figure out how to deal with their childhood hurts more constructively. I just want to add that I often tell the people I mentor, because folks of color who are now PhDs can often tell horror stories that involve other people of color. I let them vent, but I never fail to give my perspective, which I think aligns with your take on things. I've been fortunate to give opportunities and access to education to so many people I grew up with didn't. If I can't forgive and or figure out how to deal humanely with white folk who treat me and mine like crap, then surely I can find a generous lens through which to view those who hurt me when we were young. Yo, for sure, man. That I know it sounds silly, but I honestly think so much of what's like, so much of the issues we face, no matter how old we get, is just shit from when we were kids.
Yes, you're trying your best to protect that child because you go, I don't want to hurt again.
Mm-hmm. Like our defense techniques, everything, man. It's just, and that I think that's just a battle we all gonna fight our whole lives.
Yes, we are.
You know, I mean, even big shit, I think it's little shit. You know what I mean? Like even when it's like homophobia, some of that is from just you as a kid. Like, I don't want to accept change. I don't want to broaden the definitions I learned. I want things to be simple, black and white, yes and no, right and wrong, gay or straight. Like, I don't, you know what, like, I'm, because what does it hurt you to learn some new words?
Right.
If you had to learn new words for your job, you learn them new words.
Yeah, you would.
You know what I mean? Like, it's something about it's like a protection method, but the thing is, that shit can hurt people. It can be deadly. It can kill people. You know? So, it's important to unprogram that kind of shit if you can, or to at least work on it, man. Like, it's no excuse not to challenge yourself. You hear our show and you get mad, then you have to think, like, why? You know? Gotta examine why, man. Anyway. Finally, I love the puns, the tendency of yours. That tendency of yours never get old. So, sending lots of good energy your way. Caritha. Thank you.
Thank you.
And lastly, we got Sierra writes, fuck iTunes.
Oh, poor baby. She been trying. I told her Steve Jobs is still alive, y'all.
This is at Mom's Drag with Swag. I have been trying to leave a 5-star review on iTunes all damn morning. Oh, it takes a few days to post. I don't know if Karen told you, but it actually, it doesn't post right away. It normally takes like 2 to 3 days. So just don't put any cuss words in it and we should see it by next week. Right. It's some bullshit, but I love you guys. Besties in my head. This is what I was trying to post. Again, in case you missed it, fuck iTunes. Hey y'all, I finally figured out how to rate my besties in my head on iTunes, but one thing, I can't curse on here. That's problematic for me. Do you know how hard it is not to use my beautiful black gift called Words of Curse?
Yeah, I told you you had to use like little stars and asterisks, because the thing is, if you curse on iTunes, they don't not tell you that it was rejected. It just don't post.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, at this point, if anyone out there is not listening to this show, you must be the 35-year-old white man who was featured on Montague. Forget them transracials. I even love Balls Deep Sports. Don't have a clue about what y'all be talking about, but it's funny and I'm learning about sports. Anyway, love you. Keep slaying the game. Karen, keep laughing.
Thank you.
I'll tell you this, man. You listen to Balls Deep though. Like, you might think you're not learning, but it's really like, it's like how Danielson learned karate in The Karate Kid. Like, y'all think y'all not learning, but y'all smart as fuck if y'all listen to Balls Deep Sports.
Yeah.
Like, you think, like, you, we take you straight from the bullshit of like, what percentage of the time do they win, and what is his passing rate, what about his 3-point percentage? That's bullshit. You don't need to know that.
No
one cares about that. But what you do need to know is, what is Gilbert Arenas up to with his baby mama this week?
What you do need to know is about hoe control.
Yeah, well, we haven't talked to hoe control in months, and maybe even over a year. But what you do need to know is, what is Meiko Grimes talking about on Twitter? Because that's where we excel. These other shows might lead off with the recap of the Falcons playing against the Browns, but what we leave off with is Scottie Pippen versus Larsa Pippen. And that's the story. That's the story that you need to be talking about with all these people that talk those sports. Okay, guys, we're going to teach you how to hate Dwayne Wade. We will teach you that shit. Okay. So
we're going to have Mobus and Siobhan.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Siobhan. Okay. We got a lot of stuff going on at Balls Deep Sports that goes beyond the simple paradigms of wins and losses and 3-point percentage and shit.
Yeah. And actually, between me, Rod, and Justin, Roderick is the expert. Me and Justin, we just be alone for the ride.
Justin know a lot too, but I'm more of a, y'all know more than me sometimes. when it comes to some of the tactics that these people use against their baby mamas and in court and stuff.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I don't know all
that
stuff.
That's true, yeah.
I'm just out here trying to learn like y'all. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.